fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
If you listen to the press, oh, we've got him now. How many times have we heard this? Today is a big day because today, Michael Cohen, who is a lying piece of crap scumbag, who we have been on the record on this program, you know, even during the election, saying Michael Cohen is a lying piece of crap scumbag that you can't trust. Now, the media, who hated him, loves him. And he's going to testify, and he's got some evidence. Does he? We're going to go over what he's going to talk about an hour in front of Congress, and how we can predict exactly what the press is going to say. We begin there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, want to talk to you a little bit about LifeLock passwords. I can't stand passwords. I just can't stand passwords. You know, I'm gladly giving away my fingerprint at this point. Yeah, Google needs my fingerprint, a blood test. They need to know all my deep, dark secrets. They want access to all my pictures. Fine. I just don't want to have to remember a password. But passwords are really, really important. LifeLock advises you, if you don't currently use long, complex, unique passwords with at least 20 random mixed characters, then you should stop. Or you should start right now. I don't know about you, but I ain't even close to 20 random mixed characters. Because there's not a chance I would remember and be able to get into any of my devices. Anyway, passwords from 2.2 billion accounts have just been breached. It's worth remembering that you have to have different passwords. Or you could kind of make your life a little bit easier by just subscribing to LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Beck and you're going to save 10%. These guys are the ones who are watching data breaches. They're the ones watching you in particular to make sure that if your information is being sold on the dark web or if it is being used in any way, that they notify you right away and say, hey, by the way, you're not the one selling your information on the dark web, are you? And you're like, no. Good, we'll take care of it. If something does go wrong, they have in-country, U.S.-based specialists that work to fix it. That's worth more money than you can possibly imagine, and it is certainly worth the money that you're going to pay monthly for LifeLock.com to protect you. Nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock is the best in the business, and now you can save by going to LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Beck. That's LifeLock.com, promo code Beck, or 1-800-LIFELOCK. 1-800-LIFELOCK, promo code Beck. I have asked the committee to ensure that my family be protected from presidential threats, and the committee be sensitive to the questions pertaining to ongoing investigations. I'm here under oath to correct the record, to answer the committee's questions truthfully, and offer the American people what I know about President Trump. I recognize that some of you may have doubt and attack on my credibility. Yeah, every American, both Republican, Democrat, in the press, out of the press, everyone should have deep questions about this man's credibility. This guy has been a weasel, I think, probably since birth. He is a bad, bad guy. If you remember, one of our problems, in fact, one of our biggest problems with Donald Trump, and the reason why we said you can't trust him, is because he used to always say, I've got the best people around me, and they were the worst people. In particular, Cohen was one of them at the top of our list. Mm-hmm. Bannon was at the top of our list.
Roger Stone.
Roger Stone was at the top of the list. You had Manafort.
Mm-hmm.
And we told you all of the things that were going to happen because of these people. Now that these people are gone, it's a lot better. But it's these people that have gotten him into so much hot water and so much trouble. They were not trustworthy then. They're not trustworthy now. So what does the testimony of Michael Cohen even mean? Nothing. Nothing. Unless he has evidence, which they say he's going to be presenting evidence. You know, we'll wait and see. I've heard a lot of things too, and monkeys will fly out of your butt when they actually, when the media starts to get things right on this case. So what is he going to be talking about today?
Yeah. And I'm glad you set it up that way, because it's important to, you see that a lot of people who were, you know, big Trump defenders in the media were saying Michael Cohen was a great guy, and now they're saying he's a terrible guy. Mm-hmm. And the media was all saying Michael Cohen was a terrible guy, and now they're saying he's a great guy. Now they're all over him. He's the most credible person in the entire universe. He has never been credible. If what he goes to prison for is 1/1,000th of the crimes he's committed in his life, I would be stunned.
Me too.
I mean, you cannot take anything that he says seriously, unless he has significant evidence to back it up. Mm-hmm. But maybe we should go through this. I mean, look, everyone's going to be talking about it, and you should know what's in it.
And we have Jason Buttrill in with us, and Jason is going to be monitoring in hour number two. He's going to be monitoring the testimony, so he's listening. It's so we don't have to. And you have this show, so you don't have to do it. So we are passing the buck, and we're giving it to Jason, our head researcher, to follow, and we'll break in if there's anything big.
I'm thrilled personally, because you usually have to read like a 500-page report. Right. So now I just had to listen to it.
This is easy.
So what we have here is a 20-page document. It is from Michael Cohen. It is reportedly, by all accounts, his prepared opening statement today in the testimony. So
he says he's ashamed. He's ashamed of his failings. He's ashamed of his weakness. He's ashamed of his misplaced loyalty. He's ashamed of the things I did for Mr. Trump. I'm ashamed that I chose to take part in concealing Mr. Trump's illicit acts. I'm ashamed that because I know what Mr. Trump is, I'm quoting, he's a racist. He's a con man. He's a cheat.
And that's kind of the setup of it. I guess you can, why don't we go through each claim?
Sure.
And maybe you can tell me, Glenn, do you think this is going to be effective of the American people? How do they react to this?
Yep.
All right. Let's start here. He first starts off with the BuzzFeed report, which was about how Michael Cohen was told specifically from Donald Trump to lie to Congress. Cohen refutes that at some level. He says, Mr. Trump did not directly tell me to lie to Congress. That's not how he operates. In conversations we had during the campaign, at the same time I was actively negotiating in Russia for him, he would look me in the eye and tell me there's no business in Russia, and then go out and lie to the American people by saying the same thing. In his way, he was telling me to lie.
Well, I believe that to be true, but I don't think the American people are going to care.
And this has already come out, right? Look, we know that he said there was no business in Russia, and he did have the signed letter of intent. That's all come out.
So, is there anybody, I mean, when people said, I'm not electing a pope, I'm electing a president. Yeah, what you were really saying was, look, I know this guy is dirty, but I don't care.
The New York real estate business is known
for these shady things, right? It's dirty. Yeah. So I think, to me, it matters, okay? But it mattered during the election. Americans made their choice. And they chose to go with a guy who they knew was shady.
It's been priced in, right? On Donald Trump.
So I don't think this is going to matter.
Okay. There were at least a half dozen times between the Iowa caucus in January 2016 and the end of June where he would ask me, how is it going in Russia? Again, insinuating that he was all over this the entire time and then lied about it. But again, that's kind of what we know about that. Another one that's interesting is he says, you need to know Mr. Trump's personal lawyers reviewed and edited my statement to Congress about the timing of the Moscow negotiations before I gave it, saying it was not his own lie, but the lawyers actually, were part of this. He's essentially accusing the lawyers of intentionally lying to Congress as well. They're approving his statements. He says, again, to be clear, Mr. Trump knew of and directed the Trump-Moscow negotiations throughout the campaign and lied about it. He lied about it because he never expected to win the election. He also lied about it because he stood to make hundreds of millions of dollars on the Moscow real estate project. Anything new there that you think would be impactful?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Nope.
Okay.
You're the one who raised your hand. The other attorneys did not. Mm-hmm. You raised your hand.
Mm-hmm. He says Trump never expected to win the primary, never expected to win the election. The campaign for him was always a marketing opportunity.
I agree with that.
He also says that Trump would often say the campaign was going to be the greatest infomercial in political history.
I agree with that.
But again, not impactful, I don't think, on the administration in any way. He says, I knew early on that it would Trump would direct me to lie further to further his business interests. I'm ashamed to say that when it was for a real estate mogul in the private sector, I considered it trivial. As the president, I consider it significant and dangerous.
I don't believe that at all.
This is the type of thing where you can't believe Cohen at all.
I don't believe him at all.
Lying is his first language.
Yeah.
Okay? His first. And he has no credibility. You can't, when he has these little moral moments throughout this thing, I don't take any of that seriously.
Nope.
I think right now he's decided this is the thing he wants to do, which is, you know, take down Donald Trump with some things that may be true, some things that may not. The bottom line is, though, that's his motivation now, and it should be seen through that lens.
This is a mobster that would say, you know, when I was killing, you know, when I was killing Vito the Shark and Tommy Knuckles, I didn't have a problem with it. But as soon as I had to kill, you know, their wives, well, then I really had a problem. Look, killing is killing,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, right.
Killing is killing.
Mm-hmm. Tommy Knuckles, I like that. Okay, a lot of people have asked me whether Mr. Trump knew about the release of hacked Democratic National Committee emails ahead of time. The answer is yes. So this is another one where, okay, this has been one of the big accusations. Is there any evidence of this? Here's what he says. In July 2016, days before the Democratic convention, I was in Mr. Trump's office when his secretary announced Roger Stone was on the phone. Mr. Trump put Mr. Stone on the speakerphone. Mr. Stone told Mr. Trump that he had just gotten off the phone with Julian Assange, and Mr. Assange told Stone that within a couple of days, there would be a massive dump of emails that would damage Hillary Clinton's campaign. Mr. Trump responded by stating to the effect, wouldn't that be great?
I believe that.
You believe that happened?
Yeah.
Now, whether Stone actually talked to Assange, we don't know.
Yeah.
He could have easily been puffing up his chest.
Because
and being
Stone
important.
Is a liar.
Stone's also...
Stone is a guy who...
Stone
would,
is Cohen.
Stone would lie to Trump... To raise his position in the organization. So I don't know if Stone is lying or not. He may have. He may not have. But I do believe that Donald Trump is the guy who would have gotten on the phone and with Stone, and he would have said, hey, man, I just talked to Julian Assange, and I can't give you all the details, but something's coming out on Donald on Hillary. Wouldn't that be great? And that fits what happened in the timeline. It fits with him. Remember the press conference he gave? It said, hey, some things are going to be coming out. Remember that? In the last few days, things are going to be coming out. So, yeah, it looks like that. Also, it fits to me. Remember, the only thing at that time that Trump's team, they say not Trump, but Trump's team, and I believe this with... Between Stone and Manafort, it may have just been Trump's team and Trump just saying, hey, just take care of this. Let's just make sure we're friendly. Remember, the only thing they cared about in the platform was going soft on Russia's policy for the Ukraine. You remember?
I do remember that story, yeah.
And so that's all happening in the same week that this is. Is it going to matter? No. It didn't matter then. It won't matter now.
Just to point out, that does contradict Stone's the government's case against Roger Stone. Mm-hmm. In his text messages, he kept repeatedly saying that no one from the Trump camp was listening to him as far as Assange's emails. He said he was reaching out to a guy that was unnamed, but we all know now that it was Steve Bannon. That was his contact. It was never directly with the president, according to his text messages and the federal government's indictment. But he kept saying, I'm reaching out to tell Steve Bannon this, but he's not listening. No one will listen to me on this.
And again, you have to understand, you have to put Roger Stone in context. He very well could have been lying on all the text messages, too. Mm-hmm. He lies all the time.
Yeah,
that's all he does. So you can't really, it's hard to get, it's interesting because we talked about this as people surrounding Trump during the campaign. A lot of them are sincerely problematic people that lie all the time in a way that inoculates Trump here because you can't trust any of the insiders.
Yeah.
Any of them that have accounts against Donald Trump are so untrustworthy and been shown to be so untrustworthy so many times. You can't believe any of their claims.
Yeah.
Even when they're texting about things that are bad for them or good for them, there's always an agenda behind it.
Remember, it was Nixon's attorney that said under oath, like on a day like today, when they really didn't have anything, and he said under oath, I think the president has been taping our conversations. Well, as soon as that came out, then they started looking for the tapes.
Right.
And then that's why Watergate broke apart, was because of Nixon's attorney testifying that he thought the president was making tapes. But those guys didn't have any credibility either. They had no credibility.
Well, Dean had more credibility than Stone or Cohen, though.
Oh, yeah. You know, absolutely. But they all went to jail as well. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I want to talk to you a little bit about VPN technology. Quickly, Jason, you're a security guy. Tell me why you should have a VPN.
So a VPN basically lets you be invisible to people that are trying to surveil you. So, like, if people are trying to say, "I want to get all that information on Glenn," but he's using a VPN, they'll think they're getting information on you, but they're getting information from a server in Sweden or something like
and
that.
And it's not just like people are after me; it's Facebook and Google and right. everything else, right?
Yep. And it's yep. also like people looking for your personal information, right? Like not just because you're Glenn Beck or whatever, but just because you might have money or credit card numbers or anything that people can steal yep. and use.
How important is VPN right now?
It's imperative. If you're not using it, you're just wrong.
So it's, dare you? It's amazing. It's amazing to me that you and I were talking about who do we trust? Who do we trust for a VPN? Who can yeah. possibly trust that is going to provide a VPN that you know they're not also trying to sell right. your information?
Right.
That's why Norton is so important. We have selected Norton Secure VPN. It's one of the most trusted names in cybersecurity. And now they have it for $3.33 a month. That's where it starts with an annual subscription. It's really easy. All you do is you download the app. You put in the password once, and then you're connected, and it works on your phone and in your tablet and everything else. Norton.com/VPN. Norton.com/VPN. Go there now. Become a part of your future and make sure that your future is secure. The first step, Norton.com/VPN. 10 seconds, station ID. Okay, so is there any disagreement where I've come down on this that I don't think any of this makes a difference?
So far, no. I don't think so.
Total distraction.
Yeah.
No need to worry about it at this point.
So the next is Mr. Trump is a racist. We're going through Michael Cohen's testimony, so you don't have to. So Michael Cohen says that Mr. Trump is a racist. The country has seen Mr. Trump court white supremacists and bigots. You have heard him call poorer countries S-holes. That would be... S-H-I-T The reason I say that is because I'm fascinated by CNN right now, who just like a little child that has a free pass to use a naughty word on TV continues to say the full word every time. Like, there's okay, the first day maybe you have an argument to use the full word so people know what it is. It's been 6 months since this accusation came out or more, and they still on morning television are saying the full word. They just like love the idea that they get to say this swear word on TV, and it's embarrassing. Okay, next up. He once asked if I could name a country. This is Cohen speaking. He once asked me if I could name a country run by a black person that wasn't an asshole.
United States of America.
This is when Barack Obama was president of the United States, as he notes.
United States of America.
Right. I wasn't quizzing you to see if you could name one. I'm saying this is Michael Cohen's accusation.
I could have said under Nelson Mandela, South Africa.
The point here, though, is not whether you can come up with one. The point is that that's the way Trump's thinking. Yeah. However, again, it's Cohen's word means nothing. To me. Nothing.
Nothing.
Michael Cohen's word means nothing. That's the download here. Next up, he says, while we were once driving through a struggling neighborhood in Chicago, he commented that only black people could live that way.
Does
again,
he have it
if
on tape?
If he had a tape of that, that would be pretty freaking significant. The fact that he doesn't means it means nothing because it's Michael Cohen speaking and Michael Cohen's word means nothing.
Zero.
Next up, he told me that black people would never vote for him because they were too stupid. If they have a tape of that, that would be a huge deal. He doesn't. It's Michael Cohen's word, and Michael Cohen's word means nothing.
He's also said that if he was ever going to run for president, he'd run as a Republican because Republicans were too stupid.
No, that's not a real quote.
No, right? Right?
No, that's not true.
But that's out on the internet and everything else. He's also said that. Well, has he?
No, he hasn't. That's a hoax. I mean, so again,
how do you know what's real or not without a tape?
Well,
that's even going away right now.
At least the tape proves it right now. I mean,
right
in a few
now.
Years with AI and deep fakes and such,
it's 2 years, it won't make a difference.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the racist stuff. That's the extent of the accusations on the racist stuff. So, I mean, really what you have is Michael Cohen recounting three conversations or comments from Trump, which in which he has absolutely no evidence of, really seemingly by his own word. He does outline evidence of, for some of these things. None of the racist things he has any evidence for.
No, it will make a difference only to people like Kamala Harris. Do we have the audio of Kamala Harris yesterday being asked, do you think that Donald Trump is a racist?
President Trump a racist?
Well, look, when you talk about his statement on that, when you talk about him calling African countries S-hole countries, when you talk about him referring to immigrants as rapists and murderers, I don't think you can reach any other conclusion.
You would agree that he's a racist?
I do. Yes. Yes. Yes.
You're telling me that Haiti isn't a crap hole?
I mean, it's had a lot of problems.
Yeah, it's had a lot of problems. Yeah. I'm not saying why it's a crap hole or anything else, but it's a crap hole. And there are really good people trying to help Haiti out, so it's not a crap hole anymore, including their new president. But I mean, if we can't recognize that there's some real crap hole countries, Iran is one. Do you want to live there? Because I don't.
Yeah. Think of it as, do you want to move there?
Yeah.
And if your answer is no, I mean, it's not a...
That doesn't make you a racist. It makes you truth teller. Look, there are places that are crappy in the world. China is crappy. Not Beijing, but China. Not Hong Kong.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
All right. I want to tell you about Relief Factor.
Relief Factor is a way to get your life back. What do you want to do? Do you want to play tennis? You want to go for a walk? You want to start jogging again? You want to pick up that football? Because when I was young, I could throw it over the mountains. Whatever it is that you want to do again, but you can't because you're in pain, please try Relief Factor. I want you to go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call them at 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. It reduces inflammation in a natural way. Try it for 3 weeks. If it works, order more. If it doesn't, you're out $20. But if it works, you get your life back. And 70% of the people who try it, it works. relieffactor.com.
Now's the time to subscribe to Blaze TV. Go to blazetv.com/Beck. If you use the promo code Beck, you're not going to believe this. You're going to save $10. It's a miracle.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. So glad that you're listening. Thank you for joining us. We're going to be talking about the Cohen testimony as it begins here in about 35 minutes. Pat Gray is joining us now. There is something that's really interesting. This whole system is already beginning to fall apart even before it has really even been fully implemented. And that is now with transgender. The truth is that women and men are built differently. That's science.
Wow, did you hear that?
I know. On the radio, he said.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, so they're built differently. And now who's suffering? The girls in school. The girls who are losing their scholarships to go to college. They're losing them to guys who now are transitioning to be women because they're faster runners. And they don't think that's fair. What a surprise.
In Connecticut, it happened with two trans girls in one race. The top two winners were both transgender. I mean, so it's really starting to affect women's sports, and they're not happy about it. And when they speak out about it, they get beat to a pulp because you're not supposed to say anything.
They just kicked Billie Jean King out of the clubhouse.
Martina Navratilova.
No, Billie Jean King.
Billie Jean too?
Yeah, Billie Jean King this week.
Wow.
Martina Navratilova.
Last week.
Yeah. So they are...
That's incredible. And here's,
these are people who stood...
They were pioneers.
They were... This is like kicking Martin Luther King out of a civil rights group today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And believe me, if Martin Luther King were alive, they would kick him out.
Mm-hmm. It's probably true.
First of all, he was way too religious, that guy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He had the word reverend before his name.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, and he talked a lot about personal responsibility. I mean, he talked a lot about being not constantly...
colorblind. Yeah. It's wrong now to be colorblind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I thought that was the point.
You thought wrong.
Yeah.
And gender, gender is about identity and feelings. Feelings...
It's something races.
Morris Albert sings about. That's not what you're supposed to base gender on.
Right.
I remember that.
Come on.
Remember watching, because we were talking about this. What's the difference here between gender? Like, you know, we're describing something, right? There are organs on a person, and that's what we're describing. And they seem to be describing something else. And we were watching, this is when we were on Pat and Stu, and we watched a clip about Ellen talking about it. And she said, gender is a feeling you have in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Or in your heart.
That's right.
And it's like, well, just talking about your feelings may have value, but I don't think it has value in this conversation.
Well, wait a minute. If that is true, fine. Then we need to use science and talk about the body, not your feeling, when you're competing with sports.
Yes.
You're only hurting the girls. You're hurting the girls. And this is proof positive that... socialism will never take hold. You'll have to kill millions of people because socialism, as I'm going to explain in my CPAC speech, has nothing to do with fairness or justice, has nothing to do with it. Okay. That's not its goal. That's the goal of the free market system. That's the goal of a constitutional republic is justice, as close as we can get to justice. Here's what's happening. Americans are fair. Americans are open. Americans do not want to judge their neighbor and somebody who lives differently than them. For the most part, there are bigots on both sides. Okay. But for the most part, people are like, look, man, you want to call yourself a chick? Call yourself a chick, whatever. If you want to live like a woman, fine, do it. I don't have a problem with that. However, when it starts to affect me and my life, then I have a problem.
And, as you should.
Right. And as it is now starting to trickle down into all of these kids that said, no, I'm for fairness. Well, yes, so are conservatives. So are constitutional libertarians. We are for being fair and open and decent. But once it starts to hinder your life and your rights... no one person has a right to trample on the rights of another. And by competing, if we're going to put men and women in the same sport, fine, then it makes no difference. But we separated it because Americans knew scientifically men and women are built differently. They just are. And you have to reject all science to think differently. And so we separated them. So it would be fair so the girls could win. What are the girls saying now in Connecticut?
They're losing out on scholarships. It's just unfair.
And they say they know what the outcome is before the race is even won.
Yes.
Before they even start, they know those people are going to win because they're built as a man. And so they're going to win. And they said, every race, it's the same. Why are we even racing?
Yeah, and these are the kids who have been taught their whole lives that they should be inclusive and they want to be. They should be diverse and they want to be. And then they get to this and they're finding out that now there's some problems with all of that. Yeah, we want to be inclusive and we want to be diverse and all those things are great. But there's also fact.
Mm-hmm.
There's also science and reason and logic. And it's not logical for these... You know, these are identifying as women, but they got a man unit in their pants.
Right.
That makes it different.
And a bunch of testosterone.
You know what? Makes it different.
Right. That the man unit, besides the testosterone, doesn't matter. It's the muscle mass and the bone structure.
Yeah, but it's because they have a man unit in their pants.
Correct.
So they have a different muscle structure.
Correct.
And this is why we don't have kids making these decisions. They eat paste, right? Like, this is not...
and Tide Pods.
Yeah, Tide Pods. Thank you.
Yes.
It's like, you know...
I got news for you. It's not kids making this decision. Those are adults that have been making these decisions.
Right, but the kids have been grown up...
Yes.
...are growing up under those conditions where that is now just
and
the truth.
They've bought into all that
stuff.
They
bought into it.
But now it's affecting them.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to what I believe is the light in the life of one Pat Gray and the Pat Gray Unleashed program, which is liberals eating their own.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch this kind of go on.
It's fun.
It is fun at some level. But I mean, like, you know, we talked about this a while ago. I mean, RuPaul got in trouble for saying the word tranny.
Yes.
RuPaul.
Jeez.
We played the clip of Patton Oswalt. I don't think we have it around anymore, but of him, a progressive guy, going off on this and saying, I mean, this is a guy who blazed paths.
Uh-huh.
He's a guy who's on Logo, which is like the, you know, the gay cable network for, you know, gay programming. He was had a big show on that network. He is a guy that everybody knew as a cross-dresser and someone who embraced these progressive values. Now he's becoming a victim because he used the word tranny, which is not even okay for him to use. It goes so far
Can
so fast because there's no principles here. It's all a moving target.
It's all emotion.
And it's all emotion.
Let me ask you this. Anybody notice who one of the speakers is at CPAC?
Glenn Beck?
No. Van Jones.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Van.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Jones.
Which is an amazing world. Glenn Beck and Van Jones on the stage at CPAC.
That's fascinating.
Wow, the world changes.
Here's the thing.
What's he talking about?
I'm sure he's talking about justice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And working together. And here's the thing. He's an outcast.
Of the left.
Of the left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's an outcast. The guy was a communist. He's an outcast. The guy who I said 10 years ago is the most radical guy in the administration is not radical enough and is speaking at CPAC.
Holy crap.
So incredible.
It's incredible.
So incredible. And with the transgender thing, you know, all across the nation, everybody's trying to figure out how to deal with it. In Texas, there's a rule that you've got to compete under the gender that's on your birth certificate. So that caused a problem because a girl who wanted to compete with boys and she's on the testosterone hormone treatment, so she's stronger and more agile and dominating in women's wrestling. But she had to. She wanted to compete against the boys. They wouldn't let her. In Connecticut, it's different. It's the gender with which you'd identify and you get to compete.
In Texas, are they doing the hormones because of a transition or is it because of a
medical
condition?
Because of the transition.
So they can't, because like, you wouldn't normally be able to use, let's say, steroids, right?
Right. Because make the exception for the transition person.
And that's, again, where the issue stands,
right? You shouldn't be able to. Yeah, again,
it's a chemistry issue here.
It's a problem.
If they're taking these things, really for any reason, I mean, I think you'd feel bad if it was for like.
That's why you get kicked out of Major League Baseball for taking testosterone. It makes you stronger and faster.
Yeah, it's Lance Armstrong,
really,
right? That was part of his situation as
well. It's really, truly amazing how the effects are so clear and are going to pile up faster and faster once you start rejecting science. Once you reject science, I mean, that's the meaning behind my last book. It's science, and it's dismantling absolutely everything in our society. Once you start to dismantle science, you can't go to the moon anymore because 2 + 2 = 5 sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, what? You can't do anything. Our whole world is based upon science and empirical evidence. Now, nothing is. Nothing is.
And isn't it fascinating that they used to throw that around at us, that we're the science deniers? And now it's the Democrats who are denying science on whether a fetus is a human being. And
whether a baby is a human.
Whether a baby is a human being. And it's not what's in your pants that decides. It's how you feel in your head that decides your gender. What? No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
Now, to be American, if you want to say you're a woman and you're a man, because that's the way you feel, and you have a gender issue, okay.
Go ahead.
And I might even call you ma'am, because I don't need to hurt your feelings. I don't need to prove anything to you or whatever. I don't, you know, it depends on how deep this goes and how much I have to, honor your delusion. I'm not going to go down that road, but to be polite, I'm living next to a guy who dresses like a woman. I'm going to tell my kids, yeah, he's got some gender issues. You know what? But he's our neighbor. We love him. Just be polite. You know, say, good morning, ma'am, or whatever. Okay? Mm-hmm. Let's just be cool with each other. Americans want to live that way. They just don't want it forced down their throat. And that means they don't want somebody saying, you're gay? No, you can't love another person of your gender. You can't do that. You can't do that. They don't want that either. They just want, oh, you're gay. Oh, you're living with another person of your gender. Okay. Kids, that's homosexuality. We think it's wrong. They think it's right. Okay. Move on with your life. That's what America wants. And for some reason, there are others. Well, I don't need to say for some reason. For reasons of power and control and manipulation, they must have us all think alike. They must have us toe the line. Whatever that line is today, it'll be different tomorrow, but we must all learn you toe the line. That's the end of America. That's the end of the American experiment. That's the end of everything we are as a species. That's what this battle is about. And we are at the end of this battle. Now, it's going to go on. If they win, it's going to go on until they are thwarted 100 years from now. Maybe longer than that because of technology. But that battle will continue one way or another. But we are about to be put in a cage. I mean, I don't know if you realize 5G, that decision is being made right now. They are building a rat trap. China is building a rat trap. We're at the height of the Cold War with the missiles. And we don't even know it. Nobody's even talking about it. In the next 6 to 18 months, places like Germany and Britain and Australia, they're all deciding whether or not, yeah, we can have Huawei technology for our 5G. If that technology is put in, China rules all information. They have access to every single gas line that runs around the world. They win every war before a bullet is ever fought. And what are we talking about? We're talking about Cohen. Get your priorities together, America. Science matters. Facts matter. All right, I want to tell you a little bit about Blinds.com. Blinds.com, most people
good speaking skills.
Thank you. Mm. Most people buy blinds because they're selling their house.
Right, which is weird. Why not enjoy them while you're in the house?
Right.
Right, that's the whole point of improving your home. Everyone waits to, you know, 3 months before they're going to sell their house. I'm going to do all these improvements. Yeah. Do them while you're still living there, so you can enjoy them.
Enjoy it. So anyway, blinds are the cheapest way to totally transform the look of your home. Blinds.com/Beck is a way to do it really inexpensively, save a lot of money. You get all of their specials. Plus, you get an additional, I think it's 5% off when you use my name, B-E-C-K, blinds.com, promo code Beck. They're going to help you pick out the right blinds. If you don't know, they've got somebody that's going to FaceTime with you or Skype with you or, you know, whatever. You can just send pictures of your room or your house, and they'll help you pick out the right thing. They're going to save you a buttload of money. And if you're selling your house, going to help sell your house. If you're just wanting to enjoy your house, they're going to make it so much better. Blinds.com/Beck. Go there now. Blinds.com/Beck.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I could not be a more committed, progressive, feminist, pro-gay, pro-transgender person, but I cannot keep up with the glossary of correct terms.
Patton
Oswalt. I want to help, but holy, it's like a secret club pass where they change it every week, and then you're in trouble. That's not the word we use. It was last week.
I have hemorrhoids. My ass is falling out. I want to help. I know I'm an old cis white f***er, but don't give me because I didn't know the right term. RuPaul. RuPaul got into for saying tranny. RuPaul.
Amazing. They're eating themselves, and it's a joy to watch.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
American Financing, they want to give you a loan, put you into the right loan. Let's say that. They're not selling you anything. They're helping you. They work for you. They are the people that go out and they search after listening to you on exactly what you want, what your financial status is, how much you want to borrow, how much you can afford to spend without any rose-colored glasses. Then they go out and they look at all the loans and they bring them all back to you and say, we recommend this one. That's what AmericanFinancing.net does. And they can close fast as 10 days. They can get you pre-approved in 10 minutes. Call 800-906-2440. 800-906-2440. It's AmericanFinancing.net. Call them today. AmericanFinancing.net.
Sorry about that.
Of entertainment and enlightenment.
We have a lot. Hurry up. We got a lot to get to this hour. We've got testimony happening right now with the Oversight Committee. Why this is happening while our president is in major negotiations? Why? Well, because this is not a legal proceeding. This is a political proceeding. Michael Cohen, a completely discredited witness, now suddenly has a lot of credibility with the Democrats, and we're going to hear his testimony as we go. First, let me start here.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Jason says there's already fireworks. He's listening to it, so we don't have to. Already fireworks in this?
Already fireworks. Congressman Meadows is like just lit it up. The Cummings.
Oh yeah. Cummings.
He's talking about how they didn't have enough time to respond. They were like CNN and Politico had this before we did his testimony, so they're trying to get it delayed right now.
This is crazy. Anyway, CarShield. The guy has no credibility. He really doesn't. All right, carshield.com. Listen, if you have a car with 5,000 to 150,000 miles on it, it is a car that no longer has warranty, you need a warranty, because one thing goes wrong, God forbid, it costs you $1,000.
Yeah, out of nowhere. Not money you had planned to spend.
And nobody has that.
No.
Nobody has that. So the last thing you need is a big car repair. So I want you to call 1-800-CAR-6100. Call them now. Now, it says on my copy 6,000. Can we please get this right? Because it is 6,000. Are you sure?
Okay.
Okay. Then they change their phone number. Okay. It's 800-CAR-6000. 800-CAR-6000. Use the promo code Beck or just go to carshield.com. They are going to make sure that you have 24/7 roadside assistance if your car breaks down. You have a rental car if your car is in the shop. That you don't have to pay the mechanic and then wait for somebody else to pay you. They pay the mechanic. They'll get your car fixed. It is peace of mind at its best. 1-800-CAR-6000. 1-800-CAR-6000. Use the promo code Beck or go to carshield.com. Okay, so what are they voting for now? They're voting to postpone or not?
Yeah, to continue with his testimony, and it's going purely partisan lines right now. All the Democrats just voted and they said, yes, he should. And now the Republicans are voting saying, no, he should not do his testimony. They want time, more time to look through his testimony and rip it apart. That's what they said.
Okay. Now, though, they had the, was is his testimony the opening statement?
Yeah, that's his opening.
It's 20 pages long.
Get on with this nonsense. Can we get it over with? I just want the report to come out. I want this to go away. How long do we have to deal with this? I mean, the 20 pages are filled with a bunch of accusations that, if true, could be significant. However, they are not significant because Michael Cohen's the one saying them. There's evidence for some of them, and those I think are worth reviewing. But we went through about half of them before. Maybe we can go through the rest if you want.
Yeah.
We're going through Michael Cohen's testimony, so you don't have to.
Right. So bring this up. Jason's going to listen to it, but bring it up just a little bit. And if there's something significant where he starts to talk and he's into one of these significant places, then we'll bring it up. Okay, so he's going to make today several allegations against Donald Trump.
Yeah, we went through some of them. That he made racist comments with no backing, no evidence at all of them. Things about whether he talked to Russia. He claims there's a phone call that happened, as Jason pointed out in hour one. It disagrees with the case against Roger Stone that this call ever occurred. But he's claiming it, but again, with no evidence.
Yeah, the FBI says that didn't happen, but Cohen is saying it did.
It did. He goes on to talk about Mr. Trump being a cheat. This is what he says. As previously stated, he's giving 3 years of President Trump's financial statements from 2011 to 2013, which he gave to Deutsche Bank, to inquire about a loan to buy the Buffalo Bills and to Forbes. These are exhibits he actually turned in. In my experience, it was Mr. Trump inflating his total assets when it served his purposes, such as trying to be listed among the wealthiest people in Forbes, and deflating his assets to reduce his real estate taxes. There was a big New York Times investigation about this, I think it was last year. You know, if he did do that, especially in some official way to lower his real estate taxes, that would be obviously a serious issue. Most of the accusations in the Times piece were very old, you know, going back to the 80s.
Yeah.
So I don't know that there's anything there.
They didn't have anything new. That's why. And that's why they're saying, you know, release the tax papers so they have something new to go off of to see how he manipulates things, if indeed he does.
Also, he is giving them two newspaper articles side by side that are examples of Mr. Trump inflating and deflating his assets.
Again, he's got newspaper articles?
He's got two of them. And he's placed them side by side. Again, Glenn, I would ask you, does any of this make a difference so far?
Nope.
Again, most people have made their mind up on Donald Trump, and they're not going to move either way. Here's another one that we've heard.
Hang on just a sec. I want to say this. On income tax especially, nobody's going to be surprised if a real estate mogul from New York City manipulates his tax return to not pay taxes. Should he? No. Is it illegal? Yes. Should he maybe, you know, get the full burden of the law and have to pay for that? Yes.
And a fine, probably.
However, this is getting Al Capone for income tax evasion.
Exactly. Remember, this is supposed to be an investigation about whether Russia influenced the election.
This is nothing new and nothing major.
Mr. Trump directed me, Michael Cohen, to find a straw bidder to purchase a portrait of him that was being auctioned at an Art Hamptons event. The objective was to ensure that his portrait, which was going to be auctioned last, would go for the highest price of any portrait that afternoon. The portrait was purchased by the fake bidder for $60,000. Mr. Trump then directed the Trump Foundation, which is supposed to be a charitable organization, to repay the fake bidder, despite keeping the art for himself. Now, the part of that that's just embarrassing if you're trying to get a bidder to bid up your own painting. Mm-hmm. The other part of that, though, is more serious, which is taking charitable funds and directing them for something that you purchase for yourself. That's not something you're really allowed to do.
It was a charitable event. Sometimes you pay way too much money at a charitable event because it's your way of giving. If he has that, you know, in the bylaws of the Trump charity that he can, you know, he can go out and bid on things, and, you know, and give that money to charity. That's a charity gift. Now you're getting something in exchange, but it's a stupid oil painting of you. I think it's slimy, and it probably can't be done. But again, I don't think that's worth impeachment.
No. And I think, again, like, I don't think anyone took the Trump Foundation seriously as a charity. I mean, it was a, if nothing else, a PR, you know, it was a way to get Trump good PR when he was a businessman. It's got, still got nothing to do with these larger picture that we're really concerned about as a country. Though it may wind up getting him a fine. I mean, it's
so
possible.
Far you're telling telling America on the things that you say you have evidence on. You're telling America pretty much what America already knows about Donald Trump. He's an ego guy, driven by ego. He's slippery with all of the facts. Mm-hmm. He, you know, fudges things here and there. Yeah, he hires dirtbags like Cohen. Yeah. Yeah, we know it.
We're monitoring the testimony as well, Jason. And is there anything going on that we're missing at this point? Anything interesting?
No, not really. Congressman Cummings is doing his opening statement. He said that the first thing he came out with was he talks about the payoffs to the women. That's the first thing he led off with. He also said that, look, the credibility issue is a valid question, but he said the reason why we're justifying this is because of the additional documents that Cohen is going to release today. Okay. That's why he's saying that's where they're at now.
All right. Going on his testimony with from Michael Cohen against Donald Trump, trying to figure out if anything here is going to change any minds. It says, it should come to no surprise that one of my more common responsibilities was that Mr. Trump directed me to call business owners, many of whom were small businesses, that were owed money for their services and told them no payment or a reduced payment would be coming. When I advised Mr. Trump of my success, he reveled in it. And yet I continued to work for him, quoting Michael Cohen. Now, we have heard this from several people that have worked for Donald Trump or done business with Donald Trump in the past. This was a business tactic of Trump. Trump would call, have Cohen or somebody else call up a business and say, yeah, I owe you $100,000, but you know what? X, Y, and Z, I'm not doing it. I'm giving you 50. And people would have to either fight back against Trump and say, no, you're paying me my entire amount. Or they would have to take it. And it was not a thing where he was it was his hard-nosed business tactic, right? Like, he thought he could get a better price afterwards.
That's a scumbag business tactic.
Whether it's an honorable thing or not is
it's not an honorable thing.
I don't
but
think,
listen, but again, when I said in New York, you know, look at the guy who can get things done here is Donald Trump. You want a building built? You want the Freedom Tower built? Give it to Donald Trump. He'll have it built in 6 weeks. You don't want to know what he had to do to get it built. I mean, that's true today. You admire him for, finding every single loophole and exploiting it to the max. It's not the way I want to live my life, but that's what he is. That's what he does.
It's why a lot of people like the emergency declaration and why a lot of people don't like the emergency declaration, right?
Exactly.
It's the same
thing.
And by the way, he wrote about all this in his book. I mean, this is all stuff he's acknowledged as far as generalized tactics.
So far, nothing changes anything.
Michael Cohen will say, I am giving the committee today a copy of the $130,000 wire transfer from me to Mrs. Clifford. That's Stormy Daniels. Attorney during the closing days of the presidential campaign that was demanded by Daniels to maintain her silence about her affair with Mr. Trump. He does go on to say, Trump asked me, Michael Cohen, to pay off an adult film star with whom he had an affair and to lie to his wife about it, which I did. Lying to the first lady is one of my biggest regrets. She's a kind, good person. I respect her greatly, and she did not deserve that. Whether you believe Michael Cohen actually is having a moral moment or
not. Oh, I don't care
not,
about that.
I mean,
again, if all of that is true, does that make a difference?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. You can't trust
legally,
Michael Cohen at all.
Yeah, but legally, even if he wrote the checks and all of that is true.
Well, if there is an issue with campaign finance, that could be a problem here. They will certainly go after it and try to make it into a problem for him.
I think if he used his own money, wasn't it? I can't remember now.
Right.
Was it that he used his own money was a problem or that he didn't use his own money was a problem?
Well, Cohen is providing two checks, one from Donald Trump's personal account and one from the Trump organization. So at least it kind of doesn't matter. They kind of came from anywhere. The question is his intent to hide the payments for a campaign use? Again, I think it's a stretch with the law. Can you bust somebody on that? Yes. Do you have to? Probably not. People get away with things like this all the time.
I mean, look,
in campaign finance
it's
world.
Not as much as I think it should be illegal if you're paying people off to keep quiet while you're running for a campaign. I think that's bad news, but I don't think that's against the law. If you're using campaign money to do it, I don't think you can, right?
Right. Well, because that would be the problem is if he used campaign money and didn't disclose it is the biggest problem.
Right.
Which, of course, obviously the whole point of this was not to disclose it. So he didn't do that. We know. The question is, where did this money come from? There's no, by the way, signs that it came from the campaign.
Right.
But that, you know, still there are very strange lines around that.
Again, I don't think anybody's position has changed. Those who hate Donald Trump. Hate Donald Trump. Those who like Donald Trump like Donald Trump. So far, nothing in his testimony, which, by the way, we're 20 minutes into his testimony, and Cummings is still talking.
This is why we didn't start exactly at the beginning, right? Because he's just blabbing on with a bunch of nonsense right now.
We're going to get to his testimony here in just a second. First, let me tell you, personal information that you send and receive online, like passwords, credit card numbers, private photos, financial statements, tax returns, maybe conversations with your attorney. A cyber criminal can grab all of that stuff at a public Wi-Fi. That's hunting ground for them. Hotels, airports, any place with public Wi-Fi. There's somebody looking to find you and grab the information off of your computer. That's why Norton Secure VPN exists. One of the most trusted names in consumer cybersecurity is Norton. Norton has developed Norton Secure VPN. It is a virtual private network that's on your laptop, your phone, your devices, everything. You log in once. You download the app, you log in once, and you have access to a virtual private network. Nobody is going to be tracking you, Facebook or, you know, bad guys. A virtual private network now from people you can trust. Go to Norton.com/VPN. That's Norton.com/VPN. Do it right now. It starts at about $333 a month for an annual subscription. This is something that every American needs. It's Norton.com/VPN. 10 seconds, station ID. Quickly give me an update, Jason, on what we missed, and then we'll take a little bit of the hearing. I think Jim Jordan is speaking, so we want to take some of that.
It's pretty entertaining, actually. He's saying that this is going to go down in history as your first called witness is a liar to Congress. So he's really coming strong on this is purely partisan.
Nonsense.
There's no reason why a liar should be the first person you called in your committee.
He's saying the whole thing's orchestrated by Lanny Davis, who's a known Clinton ally and has been for a very long time. So that's where this is. Can we pick up a little bit of the hearings here with Jim Jordan?
Star witness in a hearing. And there's a reason this is the first, because no other committee would do it. Think about this. With Mr. Cohen here, this committee, we got lots of lawyers on this committee. This committee is actually encouraging a witness to violate attorney-client privilege. Mr. Chairman, when we legitimize dishonesty, we delegitimize this institution. We're supposed to pursue the truth, but you have stacked the deck against the truth. We're only allowed to ask certain questions, even with that amendment you just told us about. Well, Russia's now on the table. You initially told us we can't ask questions about the special counsel, can't ask questions about the Southern District of New York, can't ask questions about Russia. Nope. Only subjects we can talk about are ones you think are going to be harmful to the President of the United States. And the answers to those questions are going to come from a guy who can't be trusted. Here's what the U.S. Attorney said about Mr. Cohen. While Mr. Cohen enjoyed a privileged life, his desire for ever greater wealth and influence precipitated an extensive course of criminal conduct. Mr. Cohen committed four distinct federal crimes over a period of several years. He was motivated to do so by personal greed and repeatedly used his power and influence for deceptive ends. But the Democrats don't care. They don't care. They just want to use you, Mr. Cohen. You're their patsy today. They got to find somebody somewhere to say something so they can try to remove the president from office. Because Tom Steyer told him to. Tom Steyer, last week, organized a town hall. Guess where? Chairman Nadler's district in Manhattan. Two nights ago, Tom Steyer organized a town hall. Guess where? Chairman Cummings' district in Baltimore. The best they can find to start this process Michael Cohen. Fraudster, cheat, convicted felon, and in 2 months a federal inmate. Well, actually, they didn't find him. Lanny Davis found him. I'll say one thing about the Democrats. They stick to the playbook. Remember how all this started. The Clinton campaign hired Perkins Coie Law Firm, who hired Glenn Simpson, who hired a foreigner, Christopher Steele, who put together the fake dossier that the FBI used to go get a warrant to spy on the Trump campaign. But when that whole scheme failed and the American people said, we're going to make Donald Trump president, they said, we got to do something else. So now, Clinton loyalist, Clinton operative Lanny Davis has persuaded the chairman of the Oversight Committee to give a convicted felon a forum to tell stories and lie about the president of the United States.
So they can all start. Here's the thing. And Jordan has credibility with me. I don't know where he stood before on Cohen, but he's generally a good guy and generally cares about the truth and the system. But I will tell you this. The Republicans don't have any leg to stand on either. They loved Cohen when he was defending the president, and he had no credibility then either.
Yeah, I like Jim Jordan, but Lanny Davis did not discover Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen was in the organization for a very long time. That's why we know who he is. And he was on television, being sent on television to defend the president for a very long time.
And a lot of people liked that. And he was a liar then. He's a liar now. There's just not a lot to say. It's now 26 minutes into his testimony. He hasn't spoken a word.
This is exactly what you'd expect from this. Jason, what are we getting here? We got about a minute before we have to go to break, and we're going to come back with more of the testimony.
So Jordan was just, he yielded his time over just prematurely, but then he was like, oh, wait a minute. And then Cummings was like, no, you yield your time. And he's like, but I have a motion. And he's like, nope, not going to hear your motion. You're done. And then Jordan's like, oh, that's how you're going to operate? Okay.
I mean, it's just getting fiery.
It's just like, this is the show, right? It's a big show for both sides to get out their arguments and say that they're, you know, trying really hard and tough. And like, look, Jordan's correct here. Cohen is... has zero credibility. Zero. I mean, it's really less than zero. The guy has been lying. Basically, every time you've ever seen him speak has been a lie. So to bring him in and act as if he's credible now is completely disingenuous from the Democrats. And it was also disingenuous from the Republicans when they were treating him credibly back in the day.
You know what's amazing to me is we have actual issues going on.
President's in North Korea, or in Vietnam, talking about North Korea.
I mean, that's going on. Our special forces this week, it was found out, are now training for operations against China and Russia and de-emphasizing the Middle East and terror. This started because of China and Russia, and there's nobody talking about that. This is not about actually finding any truth and anything that is going to help the American people. This is a political, and you said it right, show. All the world has become a stage. And we're just watching a show while the real moves are being made by Russia and China and the financial and tech centers. What are we doing? What are we doing, America? Wake up.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to put all of these people, all of them, into a Liberty safe and then forget the combination. We have to figure out a way to make one big enough. And then, I don't know, we put piles of, it just says free money you can spend and no cameras. And then they'll all be lured in to like this giant politician trap. And then we close the Liberty safe on them.
And then we'll just like through the air holes, just lower in food occasionally.
I never thought of air holes. Yeah, I'll consider it. Anyway, Liberty safe. You're going to put air holes in and then lower it down into what? The ocean?
No, I said I was going to lower down food into it, as I said.
I don't think that's what you're going to say.
Finish your stupid commercial.
Right now, Liberty Safe has a sale at your local Cabela's. Local Cabela's has the best-built safe on the planet. Liberty Safe, libertysafe.com.
More of the testimony with Michael Cohen and all of his super truth coming up on the other side of the break here on the Glenn Beck Program.
Ben Sasse coming up in the Glenn Beck program in just a few minutes. We are listening to Michael Cohen deliver his opening statement. He's currently talking about who he is, a loving father.
My first instinct has always been to help those in need.
Yeah, his first instinct comes because of his mom and dad.
I am sorry I let you down.
They were survivors of the Holocaust.
As the many people that know me best would say, I am the person that they call at 3 a.m. if they needed help. And I proudly remember being the emergency contact for many of my children's friends when they were growing up, because their parents knew that I would drop everything and care for them as if they were my own. Yet last fall, I pled guilty in federal court to felonies for the benefit of, at the direction of, and in coordination with individual number one. For the record, individual number one is President Donald J. Trump.
We're aware of that.
That I was motivated by ambition at times. It is even more painful to admit that many times I ignored my conscience and acted loyal to a man when I should not have. Sitting here today, it seems unbelievable that I was so mesmerized by Donald Trump that I was willing to do things for him that I knew were absolutely wrong.
He was hypnotized. Listen to this.
My government and to the American people. Accordingly, let me now tell you about Mr. Trump. I got to know him very well, working very closely with him for more than 10 years as his executive vice president and special counsel, and then as personal attorney when he became president. When I first met Mr. Trump, he was a successful entrepreneur, a real estate giant, and an icon. Being around Mr. Trump was intoxicating. When you were in his presence, you felt like you were involved in something greater than yourself, that you were somehow changing the world. I wound up touting the Trump narrative for over a decade. That was my job. Always stay on message. Always defend. It monopolized my life. At first, I worked mostly on real estate developments and other business transactions. Shortly thereafter, Mr. Trump brought me into his personal life.
The reason why we are monitoring this, by the way, is not because we believe him. I don't believe him. I didn't believe him when everybody on the Trump campaign told us to believe him. This guy is a very bad guy, but you should know the worst that they have. This is where they're starting with this guy. Usually don't open up with a liar and a discredited figure. You start with something that you really have and you're excited to share. Everything that we know of, he has very little evidence except, I saw it firsthand.
He is capable of being loyal, but he is fundamentally disloyal. Donald Trump is a man who ran for office to make his brand great, not to make our country great. He had no desire or intention to lead this nation, only to market himself and to build his wealth and power. Mr. Trump would often say, this campaign was going to be the greatest infomercial in political history. He never expected to win the primary. He never expected to win the general election. The campaign, for him, was always a marketing opportunity. I knew early on in my work for Mr. Trump that he would direct me to lie to further his business interests.
You know, here's what's interesting,
to say,
Stu.
Mm-hmm. That was for a real estate mogul in the private
This is the problem with our society right now. Without any evidence, this guy is getting out and saying all of these things. And for me, these are the things I was saying about the Trump campaign. He's just, it's marketing. He doesn't expect to win, blah, 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 blah. And I was saying those things. So his testimony appeals to the worst part of me that says, yes, see, he's saying what you thought.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the problem with our society. We are either not watching or we're watching based on how it makes us feel.
And this is how CNN is watching, right?
Exactly right.
They're saying, oh, he said this racist thing in a car with Michael Cohen. I believe it because that's what I believe
about
him.
Because that's what I believe. Yeah. You can't take this guy for any reason. You have no reason to believe this guy.
Except he has evidence on some things. However, they're things that we already knew occurred, like the payments to Stormy Daniels. He does have evidence of some of that stuff. But it does not seem to be that he has evidence of anything new. He has claims that I have not heard before, but those claims are not backed up by any evidence.
Correct. So we want to see what evidence he does have.
Yeah.
But all of the stuff that you're listening to, whether you are cheering for it or you are jeering, don't do either. Don't do either.
Here's the race.
Here's a racist. Listen to this.
Court, white supremacists and bigots.
Oh, he may be swearing here. You may want to pull this down. Because there is a swear word in this his testimony here.
What's he saying?
He's talking about the crap hole countries, in which he says the full word in the testimony. I don't know if he's going to say it for sure here, but I don't want our stations to get it. He just said it.
Okay, bring it back.
You're welcome, stations. You're welcome.
And while we were once driving through a struggling neighborhood in Chicago, he commented that only black people could live that way. And he told me that black people would never vote for him because they were too stupid. And yet, I continued to work for him.
You believe that?
Mr. Trump.
I don't believe his.
I don't believe it either.
I don't believe his. As previously stated, I feel really bad about what I've done.
I am giving to the committee today.
He just has a new goal.
3 years of Mr. Trump's personal financial statements. From 2011,
he's only
2012.
He's
and
only changed sides because he,
which he
ran
gave to
his
Deutsche
race
Bank to inquire about,
you know,
a loan.
Donald Trump, as far as he could run,
Buffalo Bills,
he got into trouble.
And to Forbes.
He's now trying to save his butt, and this will help him sell books.
1B and 1C to my testimony. It was my experience that Mr. Trump inflated his total assets when it served his purposes, such as trying to be listed amongst the wealthiest people in Forbes, and deflated his assets to reduce his real estate taxes. I'm sharing with you two newspaper articles side by side that are examples of Mr. Trump inflating and deflating his assets, as I said, to suit his financial interests.
So in other words,
these are exhibit two.
He'll make himself look good to some people for some times, and then if it's a benefit of him, he'll say the opposite. Shut up.
I mean, if it's taxes, though, is the benefit. That
yeah,
could
if it's
be
taxes,
right.
Then show me the tax records.
Right, and that's
having
what he's
him
saying.
Say
he says he has
and backing it up with two newspaper articles.
He did say also that he has several years of financial statements and that he gave to Deutsche Bank. So that is something that I'm sure that will be of interest of the Democrats here.
Oh, especially with Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank is
a lot of shady stuff going on there.
A lot of shady money laundering. Bank with the Russians. At least that's what they say.
$60,000. Mr. Trump directed the Trump Foundation, which is supposed to be a charitable organization, to repay the fake bidder, despite keeping the art for himself. And please see Exhibit 3B to my testimony. And it should come as no surprise that one of my more common responsibilities was that Mr. Trump directed me to call business owners, many of whom are small businesses that were owed money for their services, and told them that no payment or a reduced payment would be coming. When I told Mr. Trump of my success, he actually reveled in it. And yet, I continued to work for him.
I bet you reveled in it as well.
Mr. Trump is a con man.
So are you.
He asked me to pay off an adult film star with whom he had an affair and to lie about it to his wife.
And you
which
did.
Which I did. And lying to the First Lady is one of my biggest regrets, because she is a kind, good person, and I respect her greatly.
I don't believe any of this.
Deserve that.
Tommy Knuckles. could be giving this same testimony, and I'd look. You're a mobster, man. You're a mobster. I don't believe a word of what you're saying. All of this stuff may or may not have happened. You can't take a word this guy says. I mean, you want to talk about the shadow of a doubt. I'm looking for the pinhole of light.
Right. It's like victory or death. With Cohen, it's evidence or nothing. It's either he has evidence or you shouldn't even hear the words he's saying.
Correct.
To avoid any money being traced back to him that could negatively impact his campaign. And I did that too, without bothering to consider whether that was improper, much less whether it was the right thing to do. Or how would it impact?
Okay, so far, nothing new. We're going to continue to follow this. Jason's going to follow it in the break, and then we have Ben Sasse on the other side, so stand by. First, let me tell you about 23andMe. My family got our results back last week. They came in one at a time each day. We checked the internet, and it was fun as a family to do this, unlocking the code to our family. And to see what each of us have, and some of the traits are really bizarre, and I don't know how they do this. We should get them on to talk about how they figure out the traits, because they're right. 23andMe can access personalized insights based on your DNA. They have 125 different genetic reports, health traits, and so much more. When you see your reports, you can take the next steps by talking to your healthcare provider or make informed decisions for better day-to-day lifestyle. There are a few things that you have to check. You know, you click on, hey, do you have this? You click on it, and it takes you through like five pages of understand that this, you know, you could talk to your doctor. It doesn't mean you have this, blah, blah, blah. Those are scary to check on. Luckily, my family didn't have any of those things. 23andMe, register your sample now. Get your personal 23andMe account. Receive your personal online report in just a couple of weeks. Get your DNA kit now at 23andMe.com/Beck. That's the number 2323andMe.com/Beck. 23andMe.com/Beck. Do it now.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
It is only Wednesday, and this week already, Democrats voted against protecting newborns who were born alive so the doctor or their parents could kill the child. Now those same people who want us to be able to kill baby bring us a con man, convicted felon, and perjurer to try to tell us this person can be trusted, we have to hear the truth. Ben Sasse is here. What is the state of the American soul, Ben?
Oh, Glenn, that's too big for a Wednesday morning. Monday night in the Senate was a shameful disgrace. I mean, I remain optimistic about the pro-life movement in the long term.
So do I.
For a whole bunch of reasons. But one of the basic ones is there's a lot more imaging technology in the world. And what mm-hmm. we find is as people see more 3D images of what's happening in utero, they recognize that a baby's a baby. The pro-baby position and the pro-compassion position, the pro-science position actually are all the same one.
Yep.
So I'm optimistic. But America's soul on display, at least through its supposedly greatest deliberative body, Monday night was tragic.
So, Ben, what does this say to I think... And I don't know where the cutoff is with God, but I believe in an American covenant that was started with George Washington and that he will withdraw his protection. And I think some of that has been withdrawn slowly. But when we can't say, hey, we're not going to kill newborns, and everybody knows that's infanticide, I think God withdraws from that. What does that say about the Democratic presidential candidates? I mean, what's going to happen to the Democratic Party when they embrace the worst possible position and say, yep, we're okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, so let's distinguish between one really big point and then a smaller political point. But the first and bigger point, bigger than politics, is it shouldn't be right versus left to affirm human dignity.
No.
When we believe the American experiment is premised on the idea that everybody's an image bearer, that God created people with dignity and with rights, government is not the author or source of your rights. Government is just our shared project. It's a tool to secure rights that we've already been given by God. And you have to affirm universal dignity to understand what America's about. That is not Republican versus Democrat. It should be bigger than that. Now, the much narrower political point is there's so much broken tribalism in our country that we're not having a conversation that pretends the 320 million of us are in anything together. And so you had 44 Democrats out of 100 people in the U.S. Senate vote against a resolution Monday night that was really just condemning infanticide. I'm as pro-life as they come, and unapologetically so. But our bill Monday night wasn't actually about abortion. It didn't touch Roe v. Wade. It didn't have anything to do with abortion access. It's about babies that have already been born alive. And we had, I think, six Democrats. I was floor manager Monday afternoon en route to the vote. And I think we had six Democrats make speeches, and four of them were just filled with blatant lies, talking about health of the mother and the second trimester, and debates that are messier than what we're actually talking about here. Their stuff had nothing to do with the bill whatsoever. They were making up stuff that isn't anywhere in the text of the bill at all. And I think they think they can get away with lying like that simply because they know that America's tribal enough that people only listen inside their own silos, and they're not going to be called to account because they're talking to people who already agreed with them. That's how a republic dies. We're supposed to believe some stuff in common.
Ben, I can't thank you enough for making this stand and pushing and standing tall on this and firm. We're behind you, and we support you on this effort and many of the other efforts. You are a guy who possibly can bring us back together. And as strange as this may sound, abortion in the end may be one of those things that brings us back together, because the left has gone so far. They're in the territory of a Jason movie almost. Senator Ben Sasse, thank you so much for joining us. Back in just a minute.
You bet.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Let me tell you, our spotlight here is on Home Title Lock. Home Title Lock is something that Stu has and Pat has. These guys both brought it to me off air going, do you know about this? This is the most incredible thing ever. Once you do your homework and you realize how vulnerable your actual title is to your home, and nobody's watching it. No insurance covers it. No bank covers it. Nobody's watching this. Mm-hmm. There's one company that can stand there at the vault where all of America's titles go in, and they're held. And then when they are changed, they come out through the same vault door, and Home Title Lock is there. So if your title is going in and out, they immediately call you. Hey, did you sell your house? No. Okay. And then they take care of it for you.
It really just comes down to whether the thief chooses you or not.
It is.
At this point, if you're not protected, they can really do this easily, you know,
and get away with it for a long time.
For a long time.
And the longer it sits, the worse it becomes. HomeTitleLock.com. Make sure your family has this. Make sure your kids have this if they own a home. Make sure your parents have this. Get your $100 search for free when you sign up at HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com. Okay, we go back to the Cohen testimony here. And it's getting ridiculous. I'll give you the update and then the testimony coming up.
So,
the fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, Jason's all ready to go. He just was ready to start with what the update, what's happened in the last few minutes with the Cohen hearing. We'll give you all of those details, and then we'll pop in and listen to something that it's amazing to me. As I said, Ben Sasse a minute ago, here's a party that last week voted against saving children who were born alive. And they did it through lies and deception. Then today, those same people who were fine with killing babies bring us a felon, a con man, a perjurer, a guy who's lied to them. And they say, you should listen to this guy. It's a circus act. And we begin there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. I want to tell you about realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com was started because you need to know that the person that you hire to buy or sell a house knows exactly what they're doing, knows your area, knows all of the other real estate agents, knows what your home is worth, knows what the new home is really worth, has done the paperwork, has the years of experience. We had a possible sale on our home here recently, and the guy bought the home. We went through all of it. We went to closing, and the guy didn't show up with any money. The night before, yeah, I know, the night before, we were looking at a rental house because we had to move in right away. He wanted to move in 2 weeks, and so and I was afraid this rental house was going to go, and my real estate agent that I trust said, don't do it. Don't sign on this. I know it's tomorrow. I know it all looks good, but it's just after the years of experience of doing this, something's not right. Don't do it. Wait until we close tomorrow. Thank God. Thank God. You have to have a real estate agent that knows what they're doing. Realestateagentsitrust.com. If you're buying or selling a home, do it the right way. Do it with somebody who has values and principles just like you. They're all fans of the show. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com. Jim Jordan is now taking on Cohen and really mocking him, talking about Twitter accounts. And yeah, what's he saying exactly?
How long did you work for Donald Trump?
Approximately a decade.
10 years?
That's correct.
You said all these bad things about the president there in that last 30 minutes, and yet you worked for him for 10 years? All those bad things, I mean, it's that bad. I can see you working for him for 10 days, maybe 10 weeks, maybe even 10 months. But you worked for him for 10 years. Mr. Cohen, how long did you work in the White House?
I never worked in the White House.
And that's the point, isn't it, Mr. Cohen?
No, sir.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not, sir.
You wanted to work in the White House.
No,
you
sir.
You didn't get brought to the dance.
Sir.
And now?
I was extremely proud to be personal attorney to the President of the United States of America. I did not want to go to the White House. I was offered jobs. I can tell you a story of Mr. Trump reaming out Reince Priebus, because I had not taken a job where Mr. Trump wanted me to, which is working with Don McGahn at the White House General Counsel's office.
Mr. Cohen, you work for the president.
Sir, one second. All right. What I said at the time, and I brought a lawyer in who produced a memo as to why I should not go in, because there would be no attorney-client privilege. And in order to handle some of the matters that I talked about in my opening, that it would be best suited for me not to go in, and
listen
that
to
every president
he hanging himself
had a
here.
Cohen, here's what I see.
Because I didn't take
I
the job because of attorney client privilege on all the things I just told you about.
Didn't get a job in the
Wait,
White House.
What?
and now you're behaving just like everyone else who's got fired or didn't get the job they wanted, like Andy McCabe, like James Comey, same kind of selfish motivation after you don't get the thing you want. That's what I see here today, and I think that's what the American people...
Mr. Jordan, all I wanted was what I got, to be personal attorney to the president, to enjoy the senior year of my son in high school and waiting for my daughter, who's graduating from college, to come back to New York. I got exactly what I want.
Exactly what you want?
What I wanted. That's right.
Gentlemen,
I received exactly what I wanted.
Gentlemen's time has expired. Ms. Wasserman Schultz.
Oh, gosh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
She's still around?
Yeah.
Mr. Cohen, thank you for being here today.
Still with poodle
As you
hair.
Likely know, I served as the chair of the Democratic National Committee at the time of the Russian hacks and when Russia weaponized the messages that it had stolen. But I want to be clear. My questions are not about the harm done to any individual by WikiLeaks and the
you
Russians.
You lost your gig because of
it's
this,
It's about
of course.
The possible and likely harm to the United States of
Nothing
America
to do with me.
And
no.
our democracy.
I'm going to accuse you of not doing something bad because you didn't get a gig
jobs.
You wanted. But, of course, I also lost my gig because of this exact same thing. No motivation there.
Of the Russia WikiLeaks release of the DNC's emails.
I cannot answer that in a yes or no. He had advanced notice that there was going to be a dump of emails, but at no time did I hear the specificity of what those emails were going to be.
But you do testify today.
Again,
that
pointing
he had
out that that phone call from
their,
Roger Stone contradicts
release.
Stone's personal communications.
That
he had never had contact with the president and barely
and
could get contact with Bannon. Just wanted to point
yes,
that out.
Ma'am.
Did Mr. Trump likely share this information with his daughter,
hey,
Ivanka?
Stop for just a second. I think it's really important that you understand what Cohen is saying. And he is going against what the FBI said happened. The FBI said Cohen, he was frustrated. He couldn't get access to the president. So he never told them about the WikiLeaks thing. He could only get a hold of Bannon. And Bannon would say it. Now, Cohen is saying that he heard a phone call from Stone explaining, hey, WikiLeaks is going to do this thing. So are we expected to believe the FBI or Cohen or Stone?
I mean, is it possible? It's possible, right? He could have been he could have been communicating with the president through other means, right? A different phone number that the FBI didn't get a hold of. You know, I'm sure what the FBI looked at was his cell phone and his text.
Possible, but that doesn't explain Stone's frustration,
right? Unless he's, you know, lying, which he always is. And again, I wouldn't say that I think that there's any evidence for Cohen here. This is Cohen's word, and I should always dismiss Cohen's word on its own.
I will tell you, between Stone, Cohen, and the FBI, I'm going with the FBI.
Absolutely.
So you have to believe one of the three or don't believe any of them. And if that's the case, then turn this thing, the whole thing off, because it doesn't matter. If this is the kind of evidence that you have. Now, the other thing is he talks about this Trump Tower, which she's going at. He's always said, I didn't know anything about the meeting of Trump Tower. But there's a new thing where he says, oh, I did know about it. But I didn't know I knew about it until much later. Listen to this.
So he said the reason why he knew about the Trump Tower meeting is because he recalled that at one point he was sitting in the Oval Office and Don Jr. walked up behind the Oval Office desk, because he said, remembers that was odd, and said, the meeting is on. And then Trump said, good.
Good. Let me know how it goes.
Okay. Notice there was no mention of which meeting or the content of anything.
Well,
it was just the meeting is on.
Or that it was Russia. The meeting is on.
My understanding is in 2017, Donald Trump only had one meeting.
Yes, that's right.
And
that's
this right. was it. So okay, I think.
So here he is now. He's currently giving a testimony about conversations about
there's
Russia.
Need to
I understand, but you have a tremendous amount of experience.
Mr. Trump is all about winning.
And
he will do what is necessary
within
which to win.
And in your opinion and experience, would he have the potential to cooperate or collude with a foreign power to win the presidency at all costs?
Yes.
Based on what you know,
wow.
Would Mr. Trump,
I mean, I don't believe,
or did
I don't, why should I believe him,
about
but
colluding
wow.
and coordinating with the Russians at any point during the campaign?
So as I stated in my testimony, I wouldn't use the word colluding. Was there something odd about the back and forth praise with President Putin? Yes, but I'm not really sure that I can answer that
well,
question.
What the hell is that?
Collusion.
I thought it was odd
was
too, but
campaign.
That's not. Call me up to testify. What the hell does that mean? We all thought that was odd.
Yeah.
There's just so many dots that all seem to lead to the same direction.
Unbelievable.
Before my time expires, Mr. Cohen, the campaign and the entire Trump organization appeared to be filthy with Russian contact. There are Russian business contacts. There are campaign Russian contacts. There are lies about all of those contacts. And then we have Roger Stone informing the president just before the Democratic National Convention that that WikiLeaks was going to drop documents in the public arena that we knew at that point were hacked and stolen by Russia from the Democratic National Committee.
The gentle lady's time has expired. You may answer her inquiry.
My question is,
quickly.
Given all those connections, is it likely that Donald Trump was fully aware.
This
and
is
had every
a political show trial.
Russia
this is a Russian
help make sure
show trial.
Win the
this is the kind of trial
costs.
You get in Russia.
Let me say that this is a
there's no evidence at all
by the House Select and the Senate Select Intelligence Committees. And so I would rather not answer that specific question other than just to tell you that Mr. Trump's desire to win would have him work with anyone. And one other thing
including
that
you.
I had said in my statement is that when it came to the Trump Tower Moscow project, it was worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And we never expected to win the election. So this was just business as usual.
All right, I need to take a quick break because they're going to switch to a Republican, and real quick, we'll get back to it in a minute. First, let me tell you about American Financing. If you have not yet purchased a home, you might want to consider it. Home prices are going down. Rent is going up. If you're going to be a renter and things happen the way I think they're going to happen, renting is going to cost you more and more and more and more money. You also want to make sure that your loan that you have, if you've gotten it a while back, please refinance it if you have an adjustable rate, because these rates are not coming back and the rates are going to go up. And as they go up, that will compound and you might not be able to afford the house that you're living in, and trying to sell it in bad times is going to be bad. So please find out your options right now. The people I trust is American Financing. I have personal experience with these people. I really like them. AmericanFinancing.net. Go there now, AmericanFinancing.net, or call 800-906-2440. 800-906-2440. It's AmericanFinancing.net.
American Finance.
Go ahead. Sorry.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Thank you, Jeffy, as if that was really you. Here's our 10-second station ID, and then back to the hearings. All right, from Tennessee, we go now to Congressman Green. He's a Republican.
Next couple of topics say that I can ask Mr. Cohen about the president's compliance with financial disclosures and campaign finance laws, but didn't Mr. Cohen on two occasions break campaign finance law with his own donations? So again, the majority party's star witness on the president's compliance is a guy who broke compliance laws himself. Mr. Chairman, you graciously allow us to ask questions of Mr. Cohen on the president's dealings with the IRS and tax law. Your star witness here broke the law with regards to the IRS at least five times. He pled guilty on cheating on his taxes, lying to the IRS. He's the best witness you got. Next up, with the permission of the chairman, I get to ask Mr. Cohen about his perspective on the president's business dealings. Let me get this straight. The witness lied to multiple financial institutions to get loans to pay off other loans just to keep himself afloat, and he's going to be the expert on business practices. Obviously, Mr. Chairman, the witness may produce documents that he suggests incriminates the president, yet he lies to banks. All of those lies were done on fraudulent documents. Documents that he forged. Nothing he says or produces has any credibility. Apparently, he even lied about delivering his own child, which his wife had to correct the record of. Ladies and gentlemen, how on earth is this witness credible?
He's not.
With all the lies and deception, the self-serving fraud, it begs the question.
I have to tell you.
What is the majority party doing here?
If I were Michael Cohen, he will say whatever. Me, I'm not saying him, me. My reputation, my word means so much to me. I think I would leave that room because he knows all of that stuff is true that he just said. I would have a hard time not putting a gun in my mouth. I would realize the gravity of what I have done. I have destroyed the only thing that is truly mine, and that is my name, my reputation. There's not a person in the world that should believe me.
I don't expect I'm going to have
You'd have to believe that you were in very dark moments, for sure.
Really dark moments. I wouldn't make, if personally, is, me, I would not make it through that.
If this moral transformation is real, and he said this, Cohen has said that he's been in very dark places. Whether that's true or not from him, I just don't think you can trust him.
No, I can't either. I can't either. And I don't see, and everybody treats it differently, so I don't want to judge a man's
personally,
heart.
Personally, of course.
But I don't see remorse from him. Physically, again, everybody reacts differently, so I don't want to judge the man's heart, but...
Who's paid my expense to be here today? I paid my expenses.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to yield the remaining of my time to the ranking member.
Mr. Cohen, how many times did you talk to the special counsel's office?
Seven.
Did they talk to you at all in preparation for today's hearing between the seven times you talked to him prior to your sentencing? Have you had any conversations with the special counsel's office between sentencing and today?
I'm sorry, sir. I don't understand your question.
You talked to him seven times. That's in the sentencing memorandums that were in front of the court back in December. What I'm asking is how many times you've talked to the special counsel's office since then up to today's appearance here in Congress?
The gentleman's time has expired. You may answer the question now. That one question.
I'm sorry. I don't have the answer to that.
Mr. Maloney.
I don't have the answer to that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Cohen, in your 10 years of working for Donald Trump, did he control everything that went on in the Trump organization? And did you have to get his permission in advance and report back after every meeting of any importance?
Yes. There was nothing that happened at the Trump organization. From whether it was a response, as the Daily Beast story that you referred to, ranking member, that did not go through Mr. Trump with his approval and sign off, as in the case of the payments.
How many times did the president, Michael, ask you or direct you to try to reach settlements with women in 2015 and 2016?
I'm sorry, ma'am. I don't have the answer to that. I'd have to go back and try to recollect. It's certainly the two that we know about.
And
is it more than two?
Do you think the president did not provide the accurate information in his 2017 financial disclosure form? What was he trying to hide? He corrected other forms, but he didn't correct this one.
The payments on the reimbursement of the funds that I extended on his behalf.
Can you elaborate more?
Well, going back into the story, as I stated, when we, Alan Weisselberg and I, left the office and we went to his office in order to make the determination on how the money was going to be wired to the IOLA, the interest on a lawyer's account for Keith Davidson in California, I had asked Alan to use his money. Didn't want to use mine, and he said he couldn't, and we then decided how else we can do it. And he asked me whether or not I know anybody who wants to have a party at one of his clubs that could pay me instead, or somebody who may have wanted to become a member of one of the golf clubs. And I also don't have anybody that was interested in that. And it got to the point where it was down to the wire. It was either somebody wire the funds and purchase the life rights to the story from Miss Clifford.
So look at that.
Or
it
was going to end up being sold.
Look at how this guy, how much he had to go through to get $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
How many hoops he had to look, but he can't recall in 2 years,
how many times
he had to jump through those hoops.
Yeah, he certainly wanted to make you think it's more than two.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. The answer is probably zero. It may be 10. It's definitely two, and you don't answer that the way he did. You just don't. You could say, madam, I don't know. It's more than two, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Instead, he said, it's definitely two. That doesn't help anything. That just is you're creating the illusion.
Yeah, illusion that it could be 17, AMI, right? Yes. But no evidence that it's 17.
Dylan Howard and others, where they would contact me or Mr. Trump or someone, and state that there's a story that's percolating out there that you may be interested in. And then what you do is you contact that individual and you purchase the rights to that story from them.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here coming up in a second.
By the way, that question came from Miss Maloney, which rhymes with baloney. I don't know if you...
Wow. You're not going to get that on CNN.
No, you're not going to get that on
CNN. Cover that.
No.
You know, MSNBC ignoring it.
Yeah. They won't even have the balls to say.
They don't have the balls to say that.
Here's Baloney Maloney.
Oh, my
gosh.
With
her question.
Wow.
Yeah.
You pushed the buttons of Washington today, Glenn.
Thank you. I mean, why not join in the circus?
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
I want to talk to you a little bit about X Chair. I'm going to CPAC, BNRDC Studios, on Friday during the show. I have heard rumors that there is a brand new X Chair waiting for me. Actually, I don't know if I'm going to make it on Friday. I have to give the Friday CPAC speech an hour beforehand. They may be sending something up at Radio Row at CPAC, but we're supposed to go back to the DC studios. But I guess the vice president is going to be arriving around the same time, and
there could be some traffic.
No, they're saying that not only traffic, but the I was there last time. I was there. I think the vice president came, and it just goes in lockdown. Nobody's leaving.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So get an X chair. It is so comfortable. It is so great. You get a free footrest. You save $100. Check it out for yourself. Promo code Beck, xchairbeck.com, 844-4XCHAIR, xchairbeck.com. Do yourself a favor.
And you can see Glenn in D.C. on the show tomorrow, or on Friday at least. If you go to blazetv.com/Beck, the promo code is Beck.
Hi.
The worst.
I'm so disappointed in you, Stu.
Are you?
These are important questions. Really important questions, and you fail to see the importance. You have Ms. Norton.
Yeah, hi. Okay. I just want to say the Access Hollywood tape.
Yeah,
that had a lot of important things.
This is a congressional hearing.
Had a lot of hits on the website.
Yeah,
and it shut down the newspaper servers.
It did.
It set a record for a lot of hits in a short time.
Access Hollywood,
and that was a tape that was out for the people to. Hear and see.
And what's your question?
And people went on the internet, which is a series of tubes that creates information and collects it like a bank tube. And it goes from one side of your computer to the other, and then over to your neighbor's computer, and then continues to go down your street until it leaves your street and goes into the center of town. At that time, is then able to be passed along to other areas of the country through the tubes carried by small hamsters who walk the information to the computer that you're designing.
Yep. Mr. Chairman, I would just ask that the gentlewoman is please instructed to shut up. She's hurting our case.
I mean, you have this big moment in front of national TV, this, you know, Michael Cohen, you have a very short amount of time, and she's legitimately praising the web stats of the Access Hollywood video.
Well, because Cohen needed to say, Hope Hicks asked me to call the networks and spin the Access Hollywood tape. Now,
well, he's working,
he's
for,
working
the campaign.
For the president,
yes,
and they're running
for,
of course he's spinning. Who was surprised by this?
Go ahead.
Bring this in.
The Access Hollywood study in terms of impact on the election.
I was concerned about it, but more importantly, Mr. Trump was concerned about it.
That was my next question. What was the president's concern about these matters becoming public in October?
What do you think? This is so ridiculous. What was the
president? I don't think anybody would dispute this.
Yeah.
Belief that after the wildfire that encompassed the Billy Bush tape, that a second follow-up to it would have been pleasant. And he was concerned with the effect that it had had on the campaign, on how women were seeing him, and ultimately whether or not he would have a shot in the general election.
And so you negotiated the $130,000 payment.
That had nothing to
do with that. The $130,000 number was not a number that was actually negotiated. It was told to me by Keith Davidson that this is a number that Ms. Clifford wanted.
Well, you finally completed that deal, as it were, on October the 25th. Days before the election. What happened in the interim?
Contemplated whether or not to do it. Wasn't sure if she was really going to go public. It was, again, some communications back and forth between myself and Keith Davidson. And ultimately, it came to either do it or don't. At which time, again, I had gone into Mr. Trump's
like to,
office.
If I could, I go back to the Access Hollywood tape that was on the internet? This was a diesel bus, was it not? It was run on diesel fuel, and when it was fueled up, it would have to go to a diesel pump that's just different from the unleaded pumps. Now, there's three varieties, of course, of unleaded. You have the regular.
Yes, can I ask the committee member to tell us why? Why that's important.
Now, if
at
you
all.
Have a membership card to the gas station, you can earn points, and those points will then refer to lower gas prices in the future. But filling a diesel tank with regular unleaded would be a
hang on.
Problem.
Here's Mr. Meadows. Here's Mr. Meadows.
To actually shed some light, how long have you known Ms. Patton?
I'm responsible for Lynn Patton joining the Trump Organization and the job that she currently holds.
Well, I'm glad you acknowledge that, because you made some very demeaning comments about the president that Ms. Patton doesn't agree with. In fact, it has to do with your claim of racism. She says that as a daughter of a man born in Birmingham, Alabama, that there is no way that she would work for an individual who was racist. How do you reconcile the two of those, Mr.
As neither should I, as the son of a Holocaust survivor.
Wait.
Mr. Cohen.
Wait.
I guess what I'm saying is I've talked to the president over 300 times. I've not heard one time a racist comment out of his mouth in private. So how do you reconcile it? Do you have proof of those conversations?
I would ask you to
Do you
ask,
have tape recordings of those conversations?
No, sir.
Well, you've taped everybody else.
That's,
why wouldn't you have a tape?
That's also not true, sir. That's not true.
You haven't taped anybody?
I have taped individuals.
How many times have you taped individuals?
Maybe 100 times over 10 years.
Is that a low estimate? Because I've heard it's over 200 times.
No, I don't think. I think it's approximately 100 from what I recall. But I would ask
so
you,
why
you
would,
ask me a question,
you,
sir.
Do you have
so
proof?
Here's,
do will, you have proof?
I
yes
do,
or no?
I do.
Oh, where's the proof?
Ask Ms. Patton how many people who are black are executives at the Trump Organization.
That's not... Oh, my gosh!
As we said, he's not a good lawyer.
Gosh,
no one ever accused him of being a good lawyer.
Horrible.
I mean, he just is just... This
all
is
right, let me go on a little bit further. Did you collect $1.2 million or so from Novartis?
I did.
For access to the Trump administration?
No, sir.
Why did you collect it?
Because they came to me... based upon my knowledge of the enigma, Donald Trump, what he thinks.
So they paid...
sir, please let me finish.
No, did they pay you $1.2 million dollars to
yes.
give them advice?
Yes, they did. A multi-billion dollar conglomerate came to me looking for information, not something that's unusual here in D.C., looking for information, and they believed that I had a value.
So how many times did you meet with them?
Was the insight that I was capable of offering them.
How many
times? They were willing to pay.
How many times did you meet with them? For $1.2 million, how many times did you meet with them?
I provided them with both in-person as well as telephone access whenever they needed.
How many times? Yes, sir. That's a question, Mr. Cohen.
I don't recall, sir.
So did you ever talk to them?
I spoke to them on several occasions, yes.
How many?
Six times.
Six times. Wow. $200,000 a call.
Sir, I also would like to,
right,
I also would like
I,
to bring to your attention
this is my 5 minutes, Mr. Cohen, not yours. Did you get money from the Bank of Kazakhstan?
It's not a Bank of Kazakhstan. It's called BTA.
BTA Bank. Kazakhstan BTA Bank. Did you get money from them?
I did.
For what purpose?
The purpose was because the former CEO of that bank had absconded with over, it was between $4 to $6 billion, and some of that money was here in the United States, and they sought my assistance in terms of finding, locating that money and helping them to recollect it.
So are you saying that all the reports that you were paid in some estimates over $4 million to have access and understanding of the Trump administration, you're saying that all of that was just paid to you just because you're a nice guy?
Well, I am a nice guy, but more importantly,
the record reflects that you're not a nice guy.
Each and every contract contained the clause in my contracts that said, I will not lobby and I do not do government relations work. In fact, Novartis sent me their contract, which stated specifically that they wanted me to lobby, that they wanted me to provide access to government, including the president. That information, that paragraph was crossed out by me.
We know how it works. We live through the Clintons.
Not lobby or do government relations work.
So Novartis representatives say that it was like they were hiring a non-registered lobbyist. So you disagree with that?
I don't know what they said, sir, but that the contract speaks
for itself. Have you ever contacted anybody in the administration?
Yes.
To advocate on behalf of any aspect of any of your contracts. Well, I ask unanimous consent, Mr. Chairman. I ask unanimous consent.
The gentleman's time has expired. You may answer the question.
I don't know what you're referring to, sir.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Clay.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, my gosh.
Mr. Cohen, I'm pleased.
You notice every time he runs out of time, he and you have to answer the question, he's like, I didn't understand. I don't know what. I don't know what you're talking about.
The American people are tired of being lied to. They have been lied to by President Trump. They've been lied to by the president's children. They have been lied to by the president's legal representatives.
That's you.
And it pains me to say that they have been even lied to by his congressional enablers who are still devoted to perpetuating and protecting.
I was amazed. We talk about this every day, and there's a lot of people that I just never even seen before that are in these hearings.
Like, I know.
I've never seen this guy before in my life.
No, I don't. Mr. Clay. Any idea where Mr. Clay is from?
Missouri, it says. Yeah,
Missouri?
He must be reported accurately on his federal financial disclosures and when he submits them for a bank loan.
So let's just talk about this for a second.
Cohen, mm-hmm. You serve for nearly a decade.
If I may, this has done absolutely nothing but divide the nation into camps deeper. If you believe Donald Trump, you're deeper into his corner.
Sure.
If you don't believe Donald Trump, you're deeper with the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you are neither, if you're just like, I just want the truth, this is a ridiculous soap opera.
Yes.
This is a soap opera that no one would believe. If you wrote it, you wouldn't believe it. You'd be like, they're not going to do that. They're not going to ask that question.
Are you the type that doesn't want to get to the truth about the web stats of the bus tape
with
Billy Bush?
Imagine that in a soap opera.
Like that, I want to bring up the Hollywood web stats. Billy Bush's career started in 1991 with an appearance on...
No one would believe it. No one would believe it. I think the 70% of this nation needs to just grab the 30% of the nation by the shoulders and say, stop it! What's wrong with you? All right, let me tell you about Goldline. Intelligence officials, their annual threat assessment recently issued a warning on increased threats to national security resulting from tighter cooperation between China and Russia. Let me just ask Jason here real quick. Jason, tell me what's going on between India and Pakistan today. This is nuts.
Yeah, crazy. There was a terrorist attack in Indian-controlled Kashmir, and then India responded back with bombing camps within Pakistan. So now they're at each other's throats. The nuclear council in Pakistan has met. They've downed a few Indian planes. It's escalating.
Perfect. Perfect. I don't know about you, but I think the world is... I think it's returning to sanity. I don't think it's going more crazy every day. Did you hear about the Hollywood Access web stats? I mean, everything makes sense. Gold and silver is specifically owned by people and central banks who are gobbling it up. It's owned because people know when things go insane, currencies default, countries collapse, and you better have something of value. Learn from Venezuela. What do you have of value? Gold or silver is where the world usually returns. May I suggest, strongly suggest, that you call Goldline now. 1-866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE. No matter what is happening, think of this. Think of this circus that is going on right now. When we have the president in Vietnam meeting over nukes with North Korea. When the world is completely changing, Pakistan and India under fire, what is the nation focused on? What are our representatives focused on? A circus. Please call Goldline now. 1-866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So right now they're going after Cohen, the Republicans are, and they're driving towards something, and they've brought this up several times. I'm assuming that they have something, but Cohen is being asked to deny that anyone is paying for Lanny Davis or his attorney. He said Lanny Davis is just doing this for free. I said, that's odd. That Tom Steyer did not fund any of this. And then they were asking him a minute ago, did you prepare and coordinate it all with anyone in the Democratic Party or, you know, on this committee? And he hemmed and hawed and said he didn't know what you meant. It took him three times to ask the question. He finally said, yes, well, I did talk to the committee chairperson and a couple of others with the committee, but that was just to coordinate things.
Well, you mean the what do you thing mean? He asked
things?
You about?
Yeah.
Right. What things?
Right. So let's join this again.
Okay. So did you want to testify before Congress or did he urge you to testify here?
They're talking about Lanny
Davis. I was asked to come here and I am here, sir, voluntarily because it's my
decision.
You were
asked by who? My question, did he ask you to come here?
No, sir.
Okay. Because he says that he did ask you to come here and that he convinced you, and also that he did the same with Chairman Cummings as well. So your testimony here is that you approached Lanny Davis to represent you and to come here. He did not persuade you to come here.
He did not persuade me. Actually, Chairman Cummings, which is part of the conversations that we engaged in with his people, as well as Chairman Schiff and others.
Notice that he used he did not persuade. He approached me, or I approached him.
Now this Cohen thing seems appealing to Cohen to do when he can write down his words in 20 pages and outline his case.
Yeah.
When he's got to be asked all these questions about some things that are even unrelated, it's putting him into uncomfortable
positions.
He
is going to end up going to prison for a lot longer because of this. I bet you that in very short period of time, we find out that he has made more statements of perjury in his testimony today, and he goes to jail for even longer periods of time. He's not very smart. He's really not very smart. He's not a good attorney. He's not smart, and, you know, he may be in recovery, but he's still a dirtbag.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.